In this episode of Startups for the Rest of Us, Rob and I are going to be talking about decision making for entrepreneurs. This is Startups for the Rest of Us, episode 301. Welcome to Startups for the Rest of Us, the podcast that helps developers, designers, and entrepreneurs be awesome at building, launching, and growing software products, whether you built your first product or you're just thinking about it. I'm Mike.
I'm Rob.
And we're here to share experiences to help you avoid the same mistakes we've made. What's going on this week, Rob?
Just recovering from MicroConf Europe. I had a really good time last year. I guess we should do a takeaways episode from Europe 2016, shouldn't we?
Oh, we probably should. Might have been a good idea for the live podcast episode, but that would have been difficult to do, I guess.
Because the conference wasn't done.
Right.
But yeah, maybe we'll try to do next week's, try to pull our takeaways. It was a really, really good conference. I had a lot of fun. You know, sometimes when we throw the event, there's a lot of struggles and just some things don't turn out the way you want, but it ran really smooth. I thought that the talks were very good this year. And yeah, I overall had a good time. It was good to be back in Barcelona again.
It's really funny that the episode that went out last week, I listened to it, and at the very beginning, it made it into the cut where I interrupted you and said, you didn't say episode 300, and you said I was getting to there, and then you completely skipped over saying it was episode 300.
No, I did say it was 300.
Listen, no, you did not. I went back and I listened to it. Even my wife listened to it, and she's like, he didn't say it, did he?
No, I'm going to pull that snippet and email it to you or post it on the blog or something.
I don't think it was there.
That episode was fun. Hopefully, as a listener, you've already listened to that one. It was our first ever live episode. So there was definitely a different energy level and sound quality and ambiance and that kind of stuff. But it was pretty fun to be able to kind of share that recording experience with a group of people, because normally it's you and I basically sitting on opposite ends of the country in our respective closets with the shades drawn.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. It's definitely interesting to be up there on stage like that and talk to people directly, either during the episode or even immediately afterwards, and be able to answer questions and talk a little bit about it. And just hear how long people have been listening, what sorts of takeaways they've had. And we sent an email to the email list for the podcast, which if you're not on that email list, you can go to startupsforrestofus.com, and there is an email list that you can sign up for. We don't send out too many emails, but we do use it to kind of communicate with the audience to some extent.
Unfair advantages for faster SaaS growth. This is Startups for the Rest of Us, episode 300.
Oh, snap.
I must have missed that.
So now that we know I'm right, what's going on with you?
Well, I guess I'm just getting older and I can't remember things as well. I was sure that I listened to that. I didn't hear
getting
that.
Older. Was it fun for you to have 110 of your closest founder friends singing you happy birthday on the MicroConf Europe stage last week?
I'm not sure I'll forgive you for that.
That was awesome.
Ever.
Yeah. Now I know.
Yes.
Your birthday's right around early August here. So
I still am kind of speechless about that. I can't believe you did that to me.
You turned 40.
Yes,
how does that,
I did.
How does that feel?
Well, I am still always going to be younger than you. So, you know, it feels great.
It's true.
No, I didn't really do much. I just worked, and then late evening, I just sat down, had a glass of whiskey, and read a book. That was about
nice,
it.
Nice, low-key. Good way to recover from travels last week.
Good way to get old.
Yeah, indeed. Cool. So what are we talking about this week?
Well, today we're going to be talking about decision-making for entrepreneurs. And the idea here is that with this episode, we're going to walk through some decision-making techniques and looking specifically at how we can make better decisions faster, because the progress that we make on a daily basis is generally constrained by our ability to make good decisions and make those decisions quickly so that we can actually get back to work. And when you are struggling to make decisions or you're not making decisions quick enough, then the progress that you're making and the output tends to slow down a lot. And I've noticed this in my own situations where if I'm struggling with a decision or it's taking me much longer than it probably should to make that decision, then progress on pretty much everything stops because I'm either wrestling with it or trying to do different things to get more information and try and figure out what I should be doing. And instead of actually doing anything, I'm just trying to make a decision. And it kind of leads to procrastination, but there's a lot of implications to that because obviously it detracts from morale and makes you think about things a lot more and increases stress and all these other things that go along with it because you're stressed out that you're not making a decision or moving things forward and it's constantly on your mind. So the idea of this episode is to talk about how to go through that decision-making process faster.
Yeah, and decision making, as you've said, it's such a key part of what you do day to day as a founder. And I think that one of the biggest parts of kind of keeping things moving forward is making decisions with just not enough information. That is like the majority of my day, is making the best decision you can, given that you don't have all the info that you would otherwise want to make a perfect decision.
So number one on our list of decision making for entrepreneurs is being cognizant that you are not making a decision. And I think one of the telltale signs of this is that you're procrastinating and there's a lack of progress. And those are really symptoms of not being able to make a decision. They are not the root problem itself. The root problem is that you are struggling to make this decision. And I think one of the ways to be more cognizant of this is you have to pay attention to the progress that you're making, because it's very difficult to be in that situation and then say, oh, I'm in the middle of trying to make a decision and I'm having a hard time with it. But there are symptoms that you can be aware of. And if you're tracking those types of things on a regular basis, then it will kind of remind you that, hey, you may be struggling with this decision. So if you're tracking your daily tasks that you are attempting or you've actually achieved, whether it's through a journal or a task list, any of those types of things, if you find that you're not making progress on them, then trying to figure out, is it because you're having a problem making decisions? Is that the problem that you have, or is it that you're working on the wrong thing and you're not making any progress and it ultimately doesn't matter? Not every day is going to yield any sort of progress, but if there's too many days in a row without a substantial amount of progress, then it could be that it's because you're struggling to make decisions. And when you are struggling to make those decisions, that's where these symptoms start to come out.
I notice when I'm procrastinating and not able to make decisions, it tends to be because there's either something like at the top of my to-do list that I really don't want to think about, don't want to do, don't want to make a decision, or there's something somewhere in my email inbox where I keep skipping around. And I think having the discipline to force yourself to always work top to bottom through your to-do list or bottom to top through your email inbox and basically power through it and make the fast decisions and make the best decision you can, I think that's a discipline that we all should work on. And I don't maintain it full time, but I notice that on the days that I do, it requires a lot of willpower and it typically requires me to get some music playing, get some caffeine in my system, and then I can break through. I mean, I will have stuff sitting at the top of my to-do list for weeks and I realize that I'm like going around it and I'm doing things of lower priority because I just don't want to do that one. But when I start hammering through it, these things that you put off for weeks because you don't want to do or you think they're going to take a long time, you often hammer them out in like an hour. That typically is what winds up happening. And then it's this huge, like, freeing weight, you know, lifting from your shoulders. You have to kind of be aware of this. You have to kind of make yourself aware that you are not focusing and that you are not making decisions because of that. And then just fight it head on. Just pick a moment where you're at maximum strength. So you're awake, you're motivated, you're in a good mood, and just get psyched up and hammer through something that you've been holding off on. Once you do that, it's amazing how much momentum you gain from that and just the positive energy that comes out of tackling something like that that's been holding you back for days, hours, or weeks.
The second tip for decision making is to frame the decisions that you do need to make. And part of that comes with outlining the issues around the decision, but it also ties into separating your emotional ties from that decision so that you can be more objective about it. And think about why it is that you need to make this decision. What are the results of that decision? What's the outcome? And is this decision even important? Do you have to make this decision? Because sometimes you don't. There's certainly decisions that you may come across that you may feel like you need to make a decision. So for example, an email comes in and you feel like you need to reply to it right away. And usually that's not the case. A lot of times you can either delay those things, or if it's a support request, you could hand it off to somebody else. Depends on the specifics of that. But a lot of times you can take a look at those decisions and either push them off a little bit, which there's a fine line between actively deciding to deal with something later versus performing avoidance techniques to not do it. And I think that those are two very different things. But take a look at whether or not you even need to make this decision. Is it relevant to you?
And something to keep in mind as you are making decisions, this is a little bit of a tangent, but there's this acronym that I think is used in psychology or in coaching or something, but it's an acronym that's HALT, H-A-L-T, and it's don't make decisions when you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. And then actually Jacob Thurman did an attendee talk a couple years ago, a microconf, and he said he had an S, and he said, or sick, because he had an ailment. I think it was a stomach ailment, and he was having a really tough time kind of making decisions and didn't want to make a bad one. And so be really cognizant of your state of mind as you're doing this. This is, again, a self-awareness thing, and it's kind of being aware that you are hungry or angry or lonely, because it's easy easy to be sad or depressed or be having a rough day and make decisions that just are not ideal, especially if you're making kind of permanent or semi-permanent decisions. You really, really don't want to do that. So that's something to kind of keep in mind.
The third tip is to ask yourself if you have enough information to make this decision. Most of the time, we don't have all of the information relevant to a particular problem in order to make a decision. So the vast, vast majority of the decisions that we are making are based on incomplete information. But there is a threshold that you're going to cross where you will have enough information to make that decision. And when you're in the middle of trying to make a decision, if you're struggling with it, ask yourself if you do have enough information to make that decision. If you don't, how do you get it? How long is it going to take to get that information? And what's the cost in time to acquire that information? If you were to, let's say, just make that decision and move in a particular direction, is that going to be faster than taking 4 to 6 weeks to identify the information that you need to do something that would have only taken 2 weeks to begin with? So you have to balance out and you have to look at that and figure out whether or not it's warranted to just make the decision and move forward, knowing that you may have to do work again or make a different decision versus spending the next 4 to 6 weeks trying to figure out the additional information that you need. Sometimes there's an opportunity cost there that a lot of times it's just easier to make the decision and move forward, even if it is the wrong decision, because you will learn things along the way.
Did I say this a couple episodes ago about how there are certain decisions that are easy to undo? And so make those quickly, make the best one you can and move on. And then there are certain decisions that are really hard to undo. And those are the ones that you're going to need to agonize over and get as much information as possible. And being deliberate about information gathering and thinking like, well, what test could I run? You know, oftentimes it's like, let's say a decision of like, should we change our pricing or should we change our homepage to a totally different version? Oftentimes you can just run a split test, right? Or you can talk to customers or you can, I mean, there are ways that you can gather more information. It takes some work to do, but it will help you keep you from basically kind of shooting into the dark, basically, and not knowing if what you're doing is actually going to improve the situation.
The fourth tip is actually the opposite, which is, do you have too much information or do you have conflicting information? And I think this is a common source of angst among people, myself included, where you don't want to make the wrong decision, and not wanting to make the wrong decision can lead to procrastination. And I think in these situations, you have to do something of a cost-benefit analysis to figure out how much longer it would take to get decisive information or whether even that situation exists. Is it possible to get decisive information? If you look at something like A/B testing, it can take a long time for something to be statistically significant if the differences are minute or you're not able to throw a lot of traffic at a particular thing, for example. And sometimes adding more information is simply not going to help. You're going to have to make a decision one way or the other. And as you said, sometimes you just have to make that decision and you'll go down the wrong path. And that's okay. You have to be comfortable with that and accept that there are going to be decisions that you're going to make. They're going to be wrong, and that's okay. The fifth tip is that decisions tend to have a way of proving themselves right or wrong rather quickly. If you've made a decision and you're not sure if it's the right one several weeks afterwards or several months afterwards, take a look at how much longer it's going to be before you think that you're going to be in a position where you believe that you've made the right or wrong decision. What are the conditions that need to come up that are going to allow you to verify one way or the other? When you get into those in-between stages where you have made a decision and you're kind of looking back historically to figure that out, sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes there's kind of a meandering of the environment or what it is that you're working on, and you're just not sure. And when you're doing that, it's difficult to be confident about the direction that you're going and to have to take a step back and say, is this the right approach? Am I doing the right thing? Because sometimes it's not. And looking at whether or not the reward for being right or the penalty for being wrong is warranted in those cases.
You know, this is something that I've struggled with a long time, and actually used to struggle with it a lot more when I was younger and kind of as an earlier startup founder, was I would make decisions and then I would second guess them for days or weeks or months if it was warranted. And that is not how you want to make decisions, because you just carry around all this cognitive load and this baggage, and it really distracts you from moving forward and getting the work done that you're trying to actually get done. And so I think over time, maybe it's purely just, it's kind of desensitizing yourself to it. and learning that the more decisions you make, the less each individual one matters. Or maybe it's just a learned skill. You know, maybe it's something, and I genuinely don't know. I think at a certain point, in order to move forward, I just had to start making the call and living with the outcomes, and I didn't have the time or the energy to sweat it anymore. And so I don't necessarily have any fantastic guidance, tips, or tactics. I'm sure someone out there does who has studied this, but I do know that I've gotten way, way better, and I feel better about so many more of the decisions I make now than I used to, you know, when I would kind of second guess everything that I was thinking about.
I think what you just said there was probably a fantastic quotable quote, which was the part about the more decisions you make, the less impact each individual decision has, because you're able to achieve more and accomplish more. So the addition of all of those things overcomes any individual wrong decisions that you might make along the way. If you make a massive incorrect path decision, then that is also a collection of lots of other decisions as well. But the individual decisions along the way in and of themselves don't necessarily matter as much. And the last tip we have here, which is something that Rob talked about a little bit earlier, which is decisions tend to be reversible. There's a lot of decisions that you're going to make where you can make tiny course corrections, or you may decide that, hey, this is a strategy that's not working and we're going to go in a different direction now. So you can make either minor course alterations or a massive course alteration based on the environment. But these things are not set in stone. You don't have to continue going down a path you've already gone down for the sole purpose of going down that path, or because you don't want to be wrong. You're going to be wrong on occasion. So if you have to change your course or change the decision that you've made, that's okay too.
I think that's something big that I learned is undoing decisions in most cases. While sometimes you'll lose face, or sometimes you look a little foolish to someone going back, but you can undo almost every decision. Like there are some exceptions. But I think that getting over the fear of looking dumb, or of having someone think, oh, that person didn't know what they wanted, or it tends to be like social fears, I think, that keep us from undoing decisions. Almost all decisions you make can be undone. The question is always just at what cost, right? Sometimes undoing decisions will cost you, you know, $20, or sometimes it could be hundreds of dollars or thousands. And you just have to evaluate, well, is it worth paying that in order to be able to undo it? In another respect, sometimes it's just your reputation, right? It's a little ding against, or a large ding against your reputation, and you have to decide, is it better to move forward the way that I've decided, or is it better to take that short-term hit to my reputation and to be able to undo it? And so I think it's an interesting way to think about it, and to not think about it in black and white, right? Of like, I made the decision, therefore I'm moving forward. Because if the information changes, and even if there's going to be some type of cost to you, whether that's money or reputation, if it's the right choice, then it's the right choice. Go back and undo it. And what you often find out is that the ramifications are often a lot less severe than you think they will be in your mind. That question of what's the worst that can happen if I undo this decision, like, ask yourself that and dig into it and really think what is likely to happen here, and maybe even get a sanity check. Because I think you can trap yourself in a box, especially us as engineers, right? We can trap ourselves in this box of thinking everything is black and white, and once you make the decision, it's done. And I have learned over the years, this is something I did not understand at all when I was younger, but I've learned over the years that so much is able to be undone. So to recap, the 6 tips for decision-making for entrepreneurs are: 1, be cognizant of when you're making a decision. 2, frame the decisions you need to make. 3, do you have enough info? 4, do you have too much information or conflicting information? 5, decisions have a way of proving themselves right or wrong quickly. And 6, decisions are reversible. If you have a question for us, call our voicemail number at 888-801-9690 or email us at questions@startupsfortherestofus.com. Our theme music is an excerpt from We're Out of Control by Moot, used under Creative Commons. Subscribe to us on iTunes by searching for Startups, and visit startupsfortherestofus.com for a full transcript of each episode. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.